The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle at SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
Amen. How y'all doing? Everybody good? It's 10 o'clock. Y'all don't care about that, do you? You all right with that? All right. If y'all were at home, I know you wouldn't, it ain't like you'd be getting ready to go to bed. So turn to the book of Proverbs, right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. Right in the middle of your Bible, and we're going to study the Bible together tonight. Most important thing we're going to do the whole time you're here, most important thing we're going to do is open God's Word and study it. Because we're going to do some cool stuff. I mean, some of y'all already got here and got to do some cool stuff, you know, like rides and stuff like that. That's good. Most important thing we're going to do is open God's Word. And that's why people bring you to Snowbird. I guarantee you they didn't bring you here because of the wreck. They brought you here because of the centrality. You know what that word means? What's it sound like? Central. The centralness. Yes. Of the Bible and the Scripture and everything that we do here. And so... So tonight we're going to study the Scripture. Now, let me say one thing before we dive into God's Word. Well, first let me introduce myself. My name's Brody, and I'm the camp pastor here. So I'll be doing a good bit of the teaching and preaching while you're here. And if you're new, we want to welcome you. Really thankful that you came. That goes for leaders and students and whoever's new. And if you're not new, welcome back. You're like family now. So once you come, like it's the deal. So... But one thing that I wanted to say is this like the focus of this retreat, this conference, the Pure and Holy Conference, goes back to a time years ago when on several occasions I was asked and Zach Mabry was asked, he's our worship pastor, was asked to speak at an event called True Love Waits, and they do those all over. And it's great. I don't have anything but positive to say about it. But I thought, what if we took if you're not familiar with it, what it is it's this thing where you go and at your church you go through a teaching, a series of teachings on like relationships and dating and waiting on your husband or wife before you like just committing to wait for sex. But I thought, you know, it would be cool to like drill deeper into this thing and talk more about what it is to just follow Christ, follow out the steps of your teenage years, just following Jesus. Because if you do that, you'll wait without committing. Like, you won't have to make promises or pledges or, like, you'll just, if you walk with Jesus, you'll be all right. You understand what I'm saying? You walk with Jesus and obey his word, I promise you, you will be just fine all the days of your life. Even the days when you fall, like, flat on your mouth on the ground, spiritually speaking, bam, and you fall down, and you will get up, and you'll keep moving. Jude 24 says, now to him who is able to keep me from stumbling and to present me blameless before the throne of God, literally. And so what we want to do this weekend is help equip you as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, this will make some sense to you, but the most important thing for you to do is trust Jesus. If you're here and you don't have a Christian faith, you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm here, first thing, tell you, you need Jesus is what you need. You don't need a boyfriend, girlfriend, or commitment not to have sex with somebody. You need Jesus. Like, he is your Lord and your Savior, whether you submit to that or not. But you need that. It'll change your life. And he will put right what is broken in your life, and he'll give you purpose and hope, and it's awesome to think about. But if you're here and you're a Christian, this should all make sense to you. Practical teaching is the goal of the weekend. So we're going to talk about, from God's Word, what it looks like to walk through the steps of like your teenage years and your early adult years, or even just singleness in general. But watch this. What we're going to talk about in the Bible this weekend are things that matter for me. I've been married 24 years. Like, they matter for me as a 24-year veteran of marriage. Okay, so this is not like teenage talk. This is Jesus, follow Jesus and live the way he wants you to live according to his word. It's that kind of talk, okay? So Proverbs, right in the middle of the Bible, turn chapter 4. Where's Andrew Spires? Hey, baby, you got some gum or something? I got you. I brought your breath mint. You good? All right, man. You ready? Look at that. I didn't play I didn't play underhand softball, fast pitch. Here, come in. There, that's for you since you passed it back. All right. Okay, Proverbs 4. This is a lot. We're gonna hang out here in this passage, and we've been doing this event for quite a few years now. So there's tons of sermons and content. I would encourage you to go back and listen to past sermons and sessions from this conference. Every year we teach different content, different passages of Scripture. Also, one more thing, last thing, we just teach the Bible in a manner or fashion that's called expository teaching, which means we take a passage of Scripture and we just look at what it says. We say, here's what it's saying, see? And then here's how it applies to your life, okay? So that's what we're going to do. We're just walk through the passage. So Proverbs chapter 4, the title at the top is A Father's Wise Instruction. So we know from that little subtitle, if your Bible has that in it, that's not Bible, that's something that somebody added. But it tells us, okay, this is a father speaking to his son. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Okay, sometimes the Bible will tell you something like really emphatically. You know what emphatically means? Like aggressively, like you've got to understand what I'm saying here. So he says it twice. He's like, get wisdom, get insight, grab a hold of it. He's like cheering you on. He's saying to you young people, because this is a father speaking to his sons, get wisdom. The most important thing I could say to you as a Christian, if you got Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, get Jesus. If you got Jesus, get wisdom. We're going to talk about how you get it, but the first thing you need to understand before we even talk about how you get it, you need wisdom in your life. Okay? Everybody say wisdom. 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 You need wisdom. You live in a society full of people who don't have wisdom. I ain't saying they're dumb. There's a lot of them are very intelligent, very educated. We live in a society and a culture of smart people. We are the most educated society and culture in the history of mankind. But one of my favorite preachers, a guy named Robbie Zacharias, quoted some dude. I don't know who he quoted, but I like Robbie Zacharias, so I'll quote him quoting the other dude. And he said, we have educated ourselves into imbecility. You know what imbecility means? Like moronic behavior. Like we're so smart, we're dumb. It's kind of like you ever hear people talk about common sense, the difference in like book smart and street smart, or like some of the smartest people I know ain't got no degree. Ain't been to college. Ain't been, you know what I'm saying? Like some of the smartest people I know have a bunch of degrees and have been to a bunch of colleges. They like college so much they kept going back. But the wisdom doesn't come from the knowledge of books or learning. Wisdom is this idea in Scripture. Let me tell you how in this book, Proverbs, if you start in chapter 1 and you go through chapter 9, here's what it's going to do. It's going to paint this picture that wisdom is like a lady. Like a lady, okay? So it's sort of, you know what it means to personify something? So it's kind of giving you like the idea this is a person, okay? Even though it's not a person, but it personifies wisdom so that we can get a little bit better mental picture of wisdom. So, and here's what he says. Wisdom will guard you, but you need to guard your wisdom. Okay, so this is kind of like, whoa, what is he saying? I'll give you a story. I'll give you an example. It's not going to totally make it make sense, but it'll help, okay? So we have a couple dogs, and we've always had dogs. As long as I can remember, I've always had dogs. And I like girl dogs. I just got my first boy dog. I got a little boy pup dog. He's an idiot, and I remember why I like girl dogs. But we're going to fix that, if you know what I'm saying. We're going to get that done away with. So I had this dog. We had a dog. Her name was Nola. And she was like she was a chocolate lab. She like had papers, paperwork that told you when she was born and all this stuff. And somebody gave her to me. When my daddy died, my aunt gave me this dog. So I had this, I was like, okay, thanks. Like, okay, that's cool. I got a cool new dog. And so she was great. But she didn't do nothing. Like she didn't do nothing. Like she just laid. Perfect dog, in my opinion. Laid on the porch. Like when she was a puppy. She didn't do nothing. Usually puppies will be chewing on stuff and aggravating you and eating their own barf and stuff like that. And true story. And so, but not Nola. She just laid. She made guttural sounds. Like she like a great big large fat older man is what she reminded me of on Super Bowl Sunday. Like that was her life. Okay. But we took care of Nola. We took care of Nola and we fed Nola. And she was fat, and she was good for absolutely nothing. One day, my two youngest children were very small at the time, and there was some people down the road that had these two pit bulls they kept in this cage, and then things got out and came up in my yard. And my kid and I wasn't home. I came pulling in right after this happened. And my wife, Little, who's the girl that plays drums, she was down. The kids were out in the yard. She's in the yard, but they were way down, maybe like a football field length away down in the field, okay? And those dogs came running at my kids. And my kids did what any normal human being without a gun would do. You know, they're like, why they start running like this? And those dogs are bearing down on them. Y'all, they would have killed them kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were some mean dogs. And, like, just as they're – and Little said she's running, and it's like it's in slow motion. It's like I'm going to watch my kids get chewed up in front of my very face, you know. She's like having this panic moment. And she said this brown blur goes sprinting past her. It was Nola. First time in her life. She's like 10 years old. She ran. You know, like literally the earth stood still. It was crazy. And she ran down there, and it was downhill. I don't think she was strong enough to beat those dogs up, but I think she was going so fast she couldn't stop. And all that force, when it hit those two dogs, it knocked them both just like sprawling like this, man. And it scared them to death. And then her momentum carried her right down on top of one of them, and so she just bit down on his throat. Like, she's like, this is what dogs do, I think. And she just held him like this. And the other dog ran off, and she let Buddy, little Buddy up, and he ran off, and them dogs ain't been back to the house. And I remember coming home, and I come pulling in right after that, and Little's out there with the kids, and with them two little kids, and Nola just laying there. Like, what? Ooh, I'm tired. Somebody carry me back to the porch, you know? You know? But what it took is for us to recognize, it took a moment where there was a need and for her to react to that need. So to that point, she had laid silently on that porch. And I feel like in a lot of Christians' lives, I don't want to over illustrate this, but in a lot of Christians' lives, if you have Jesus, you have wisdom. And I want to explain that to you. But for so many Christians, it's just laying dormant. And you might be at a point in your life where you need to call on that. You need to start drilling. Like if you're 14, 15, 16, if you're 11, 12, if you're a teenager, you need wisdom activated and at work in your life. And I'm going to tell you why you already have it if you're a Christian, because the Bible says this three times that I know of, twice in Proverbs, once in Psalm. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. With me? Everybody with me? Fear of the Lord. If you're a Christian, there was a point in your life where you repented of your sin, you confessed your faith in Jesus, you put your trust in Him, you called on the name of Jesus, and you were gloriously saved. This didn't happen when you were a baby and got dunked, sprinkled, or committed. This didn't happen when you were 12 and got bar mitzvahed baptized, or the thing where you go through the class, you know. Confirm, okay? I'm sorry. I'm trying to, like, remember all, like, this stuff. Like, there's things that we go through in church that are good things. They're good things. But the good thing, the goodest thing is when you confess Jesus as Lord and you put your faith and your trust in Him. For some of you, that might have happened when you were 5. For some of you, maybe when you were 12, 13 in confirmation or in vacation Bible school, or when you're 15, 16. For me, I was 20. But here's what happens. When you become a Christian, you confess Christ as Lord and you surrender to Him, which means the fear of the Lord. There is an element of fear in the act of putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. It's an element of fear. Maybe you're afraid of death and condemnation. Maybe you're afraid of like what the future holds. Maybe you just see Christ like Isaiah did, high and lifted up, John tells us. But you see Jesus, you're driven to your knees in fear that is accompanied with awe and trembling, but it's a different kind of fear. Let me tell you what kind of fear it is. Because there's like grizzly bear fear. Like, grizzly bear, whoop, I'm out. Okay, so like there's a fear that drives you away. Y'all with me? That kind of fear drives you away. All right? But there's a fear when you're in the presence of Jesus, that somehow, even in that moment of fear and awe, draws you to him. And it's the magnetic beauty of his risen and glorified self. Jesus draws us to him even in the fear of recognizing that we're sinners before a perfect and righteous and holy God. It's literally an incredible thing to think that it's fear that draws us to him. We see a picture of it anytime we see, like in the book of Isaiah, we see angels around the throne of Jesus, and they're covering their face and they're covering their bodies like this. But you know where they're at? They're hovering right up next to the throne of Jesus. They don't want to leave him. So there's this concept in the Bible that fear of the Lord, that's a righteous and healthy fear, drives you to him. It drives you to him. It's not a fear of a terrorist or like someone that would do you harm, or a wild animal or a house fire where you want to run in the other direction. It's a fear that draws you to the Lord. Now, here's what happens. When that fear pulls you in, you will be fearless in the face of anything else in this world. You'll be fearless. And some of you might be going, "What? I thought this was pure and holy. We're talking about dating and sex and stuff like that." Look, all y'all got on your brain, listen, we're getting there. The most critical thing in your life is how you view Jesus. How you view Jesus. That's what matters the most. So as the fear of the Lord draws me in salvation and repentance, the Bible says that's the beginning of wisdom. So if I'm a Christian, what I said, I've got wisdom. Nola, laying on the porch, doing nothing. Maybe in your life to this point, you've been living for yourself, for your own passions and desires and pleasures. You're a Christian, but only by confession, and you're not acting on it, and wisdom is laid dormant. And I'm telling you, if it's not here already, it's right around the corner. You're going to need wisdom to roar and rear its head and come after the things in your life that are going to drag you away from Jesus. And it's wisdom that'll do it, according to Proverbs chapter 4. Wisdom. Ever think of that? Wisdom. You need wisdom. It's always so refreshing to be in the presence of teenagers when I sit down with a kid, because this is my life, you know. I've been doing student ministry for 2.5 decades. I sit down with students, and when I'm around a kid that can speak clearly and communicate in full sentences and have a conversation with me as a grown-up, it's very refreshing when a kid displays wisdom. And like some maturity. I love that. Well, every one of you, that's what you need to be striving towards. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, get wisdom. Now, the word he right there in verse 6, he says, or verse 5, he says, get wisdom, get insight. Don't forget it. Don't turn away from it. Don't forsake her, and she'll keep you. Love her, and she'll guard you. I want you to, you know, like that word keep and that word guard, those words, it's the same idea. And it means protect. And here's what he's saying. Wisdom in your life as a 12-year-old, wisdom, not knowledge, wisdom. What is wisdom? Discernment, the ability to understand and make good decisions and believe in what is true and act on that truth. That will protect you. That'll protect you. Let me show you an illustration of this. Can I borrow one of you? Oh, she's going to come. She's going to come. Okay. All right, give me both hands, and I'm going to pull you up here. What's your name?
Addison.
Addison, okay. This is Addison, my friend.
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 12.
Is this pretty freaky being in front of all these people?
Sort of.
Okay, then get behind me right here like this. You see that? You ain't scared now, are you? You can't even see them, can you? Wave at them. Okay, now, I've got her teeny tiny little wrists in my hand, okay? Now, what I want to illustrate is, imagine that I represent wisdom, okay? That's a stretch for anybody that knows me. Look, I saw Leroy back there, is like, Okay, so, all right, I represent wisdom. I ain't say I am wisdom, all right? I represent it, okay? It's a play. This is a theatrical production, all right? And Addison, okay? All right, you represent yourself. Okay? All right, so you're just you. Now, what happens is everywhere we go, if she just stays right with me, she's safe. Okay, now, all of a sudden, there's a threat in front of us, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of spread myself out, and I'm going to protect her, and I'm going to keep her safe. You feel safe if a bad guy was in front of us?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really good at fist fighting. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's good. Okay? All right, so you stay back here. Now, you feel safe, don't you? All right, look, she's safe. Look, now, you can peek around. See the bad man coming at us? He's coming fast. What you going to do? Whoop, right back there she goes. All right, that's the best place she can be. Trust me. Okay, you go sit down. That was awesome. You did so good. Thank you. All right, so what I'm trying to illustrate to you is, and I don't care how you paint this picture. You could say, well, if you walk behind Jesus, he'll protect you. Or if the Holy Spirit's guiding you, he'll protect you. Or the Word of God is before you. Like David says, your Word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or it's a light into my path. Okay, so the idea is when I walk in step with God's Word, and in step with the wisdom that comes from God's word. Because if we continue, and we'll get there probably not tonight, but over in verse 20, he says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. He's like, if we're attentive to the word of God, then we're going to be safe. We're going to be tucked in behind it. And God's going to help guide us through the most difficult things we're going to face. So he's saying, keep it, guard it, let it protect you, let it guard you. And he says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. That's almost like, okay, this is a father talking to his son. You're like, oh, this kid must be like 7. Now, son, the beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom. It's like saying the beginning of eating food is to put the food in your mouth and eat it. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's like, he's just saying, this is not complicated, people. You want wisdom? You got to get wisdom. The way you start getting wisdom is to get wisdom. The beginning of getting wisdom is get wisdom. And when you get wisdom, guard it. And know this, somehow as you guard it, it's guarding you. It's guarding you. If you could imagine, if we could personify wisdom some other way, I'll give you one more illustration that just right now come to my brain, so hopefully this will work. If you could imagine that wisdom is like a tame lion that you've got on a leash, and you're walking that lion around, and you've got him sort of under control. Okay, you've got that line pulled in. You've got him under control. But the moment that you need to unclip that leash and turn him loose, there's no safer place to be than right there beside that line. You get what I'm saying? So he said. So here's what I know to be true. Let's correlate this. And this is not, we're not leaving the scripture to do this. Because what he's going to talk about in the next chapter, is he going to talk about adultery and sexual sin and things like that? Here's what I know to be true. A broken view of sex and sexuality is destroying your generation. I'm not talking about busting you up a little bit. I'm talking about destroying an entire generation. Just like today, one of the ladies on staff here came up to me and said, this research just in right now, 25% of all internet searches in the world are pornographic searches. 25%, 1 in 4 times that somebody hits search, it's a pornographic search. I'm telling you, man, our world is so broken, and a broken view of sex and sexuality and God's intention for this is destroying and wiping out our whole understanding of what God has for us in this area. And what's happening is the world is defining the parameters for us. And you know what we need? We don't need another boycott or rally. We don't need to go on social media and blast anybody for their views. We just need wisdom. We just need wisdom. You need wisdom to live and function in this society. You need wisdom to go to school and stand on your own 2 feet and shine the light of the gospel into the halls of your school. You need wisdom to not buckle to the pressure that all your friends are buckling to. You need wisdom. It's not, oh, I need strength. It's, I need wisdom, because with wisdom will come strength. There's an old saying, work smarter, not harder, that carried over into the boxing world. Box smarter, not harder. The idea is the smarter boxer typically would win the fight. He may not be the hardest puncher. He might not be the best athlete, but if he's smart, he can outsmart his opponent. The idea is this. When it comes to your battle for purity and your battle against sin and your battle against temptation in this generation and in this society, you need wisdom. And with wisdom, you can win the day. You can walk in obedience to the Lord. You can live as a light in a dark place. And it won't be about, am I following enough rules? Am I making enough commitments? Am I pledging the right? It's like, no, you're following Jesus and you're getting wisdom and you're guarding what he's given you and you're taking a leash off when you need to turn the lion loose and let him roar a little bit. And the word of God speaks in your life every day. That's what you need. Now, last thing. Look, this is where I'm going to stop and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. Verse 6, he says, Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Listen to all of the things. Okay, let me do this. Look, start in verse 5. Let me walk you through all of the things that he's going to say in this chapter about wisdom. There's only like 4 or 5 things that he says you should do with wisdom. Okay? And we'll unpack these a little bit tomorrow. Listen to all the things he says you should do with wisdom. We already covered verse 5. Get wisdom. He said, get you some. Get you some wisdom. Get some wisdom. Okay? Verse 6, do not forsake her. So, okay, get the wisdom. Hang on to the wisdom. Don't let go of the wisdom. All right? Now, in verse 13, he says, hold her tightly. So now, okay, this right here, you were going to be my helper a while ago. Yes? What's your name? Elaine? Elena? Can you come help me one more time? I mean, not one more time. It's the only time. First time. All right? Come on up, Elena. All right, how old are you?
11.
Okay. Now, are y'all cool? I'm an illustrator. This is the way I think. Okay. So it says, get wisdom. Okay, I've got her. She's wisdom. Now I'm me, and she's wisdom. Role reversal. See that? All right. I want you to get good stiff arms right here. Okay, get wisdom. All right. Do not forsake her and hold her tightly. And everywhere you go, you can take wisdom with you like this. Don't let go of wisdom. Okay? So you can go sit down. Thanks. So it's this idea. I'm going to take hold of wisdom. I'm going to grip it tightly, and everywhere I go, I'm not going to like abandon it and let go. You see what I'm saying? I never forget. You ever go tubing on behind the ski boat, and the guy driving is like, I can throw you off. I'm like, of course you can. You got a 350. Like, I weigh a buck. You know, like, I hope you can throw me off, or you're the worst boat driver in history. And so my dad's buddy, Jim Lindsay, he would always, my dad and this guy, Jim Lindsay, they were lunatics, man, especially when they were, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jim, y'all with me? Okay. And so we're at the lake, and Jim's like, oh, I got one of these tubes. I'm going to throw you off that tube, son. You watch this. Oh, you ain't going to believe this. And you can't hang. I was about 17. I was like, you can't throw me off. Son, you watch this. And it was like redneck hillbilly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, ding. Like, so here we go. So I get on a tube, and here we go around. Like, I was like, I ain't letting go of this thing. I don't care if my arms fall off. I don't care if he jerks them out of the socket. They blow completely off of my body. I'll die in this water, but they will be frozen to that tube bouncing around the lake. While I sink, you know, or whatever. And so here we go. And I mean, literally, I'm like, at one point, I'm upside down, and he's skipping me on my back across, and I completely lost my shorts, man. They're like, pew, they're gone. And it's like, poo, 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 poo. And I mean, I might have not even been 7. I might have been 15 or 16, but I remember, I can remember seeing my dad, and my dad was missing a couple teeth. I'm telling y'all, we hillbillies. I'm missing a couple teeth right here. And I can just remember him laughing. He's laughing like that, and I was like, I hate all of y'all. But I didn't let go, man. I didn't let go. And finally, he stopped. He's like, you are out of your mind. I was like, I'm out of my shorts, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to do something, you know? I'm bobbing in the water, you know? My dad's laughing. He's doubled over. But, like, there's this idea that, so I want you to start thinking as we get practical this weekend on how do you do this? How do you live against the wave of sexual temptation in the culture? Because sexual temptation, first and foremost, listen to me, comes from within. It's not first and foremost temptation on the internet or temptation at school or temptation on social media or through something somebody's going to send you on your phone. It's first and foremost something that grows from within. Scripture teaches us this. Out of like the inside of who I am, there's this war raging in me. And so when it connects with what the world's offering me, that's when I get in trouble. So what we are talking about currently is grab hold of wisdom. Grab hold of the Word of God. He's saying, grab it, take it, don't forsake her, hold her tightly. And lastly, in verse 8, and he says, prize her highly. Prize wisdom. What do you prize in your life? We're right in the middle of the Olympics. I confess I've not watched a single Olympic event. Yesterday I watched the 1980 gold medal hockey match when we beat the Soviet Union. I watched like the last 3 minutes of that. That's my Olympics this year, all right? And I watched like a news report to see how many medals people were winning like on the third day. I just missed it. But I like watching the Olympics. There's people spend their whole life training to hold that one medal. And it means so much to them. And then they hang it in their house somewhere and they get to show people the rest of their life. It's a great honor, isn't it? He's saying grab wisdom and prize it like more than anything in this world. Hold it as the highest prize in your life. There's another place where he's going to say, this same guy, just a few verses later, is going to say, a good name is better to be chosen than great riches. Get wisdom. Grab hold of Jesus. Take hold of the faith that he's given you, Paul will tell Timothy, and don't let go of it. And you're going to be fine through your teenage years, through your marriage, regardless of if you come from a broken home, regardless of if you've been a victim of abuse. Get wisdom. Hold tightly. Prize her highly. And watch God do awesome things in your life. Amen? I'll pray and give you some direction. Pray with me. God, pray that you take your word as we've had the opportunity to spend just a few minutes in it tonight. And you'd help us to understand it in a practical way where it, like where it's driven deep into our hearts, our minds. I pray for these students that there will be conviction that comes with it, that there will be consciences that are afflicted if there is a need for conviction in that way, that for those of us that might be here that are really striving to do your will and do what you would have us to do, God, I pray that you'd give us strength to do that. So wherever we are in our lives right now, people in this room, God, some need to right now repent and turn to you on the basis that they don't know Jesus and they need Jesus and they're not even Christians. They're just churchgoers. And there's a difference sometimes. And there's some here that are walking in disobedience, even though they are your sons and daughters. They're walking in disobedience. They need to repent and turn to you. I pray this weekend that would happen. And there's some that are doing everything in their power, God. They just need another boost. They need a little shove in their Christian life, a little boost to encourage them and fire them up and give them what they need to go back at it next week and to go strong through the rest of the semester. God, give us what we need from your word. Help us to see wisdom in this way that we need wisdom. And as we begin to even further define it and unpack it and understand exactly what it looks like in our lives, help us to respond to that accordingly. In Jesus' strong name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.